here we go. This week, everybody got enough room?
These good lessons.
All right. This week we're going to look in Luke 24. We're skipping across some chapters and we'll go back to where we were and pick up where we were from last week. But this week we're going to talk about being confident of the resurrection and how we can be sure that the resurrection is true. Our lesson passages or our background is Luke 24, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35, and we're just going to cover those all those verses now instead of skipping around and skipping a few of them. I just thought we'd just do the whole thing, and I'm going to go ahead. I'd like to read it so we know the context of what we're studying, and then I'll go back and break them down for us.
Now, where are we at now? 24.
Yeah, chapter 24, Luke chapter. That's okay. Chapter 24. And we're going to start at verse 13. It says, "That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing so intently as you were walking? They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days. What things? Jesus asked. The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they said. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, you foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Then Jesus took them through the writing of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, stay the night with us, since it is getting late. So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and at that moment he disappeared. They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? And within the hour they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, the Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter. Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. So those are the verses that we're going to focus on today. So let's talk about, what is the definition of the word confident to you? What does it mean? If you're confident, what does that mean?
Have faith in yourself.
Have faith in yourself and what you are working on or what you believe in. You're sure. You're bold because you're so confident. You know without a fact that you're not wrong, so you're going to be bold about it. You believe strongly. These definitions come from my dictionary, so I wanted to be sure that I depicted it right, correctly. So you are sure of what you are speaking about. You are bold about it because you are so confident, and you believe strongly in whatever the situation may be. So that's the kind of confidence that we're going to talk about today as far as the resurrection. How confident are you of the resurrection? I feel like since we all showed up this morning, we're pretty confident, don't you think? We're confident that Jesus did rise and on the third day, and But I want to think about people that aren't so confident. So we come to Sunday school and we go to church every week. We're here. And for us, today, Easter Sunday, is really, really, really special. It has a special meaning in our hearts and in our lives, in our faith, in our spiritual walk, because that's why we are so confident that Jesus is alive and that he was resurrected. But what about those people that only come to church once a year or twice, Christmas and Easter? You know, there are people that's... So you got to know that somewhere in their lives, at some point, they were told by someone who had the confidence that, like I'm talking about, and showed them that if you don't go any other time, go Easter and Christmas, because Christmas was when we celebrate his birth, and then as a man, and then Easter is when we celebrate his resurrection as our Savior. But I just, you know, you can't forget about it, because it's so special to us. We cannot forget about those that only come today. That there's something there that brings them. The Holy Spirit is in there just enough working on their heart to bring them to church. So, does that mean that because they only come, they may believe, but they only come and show respect for what they believe once a year? Does that mean to you that their belief is different than ours, that Jesus is alive? Ours is probably stronger. Our faith is stronger. Our walk is stronger. Our walk is different. But we just have to I just want us to focus on those, because there may be some in our church today, some people that we only see once a year. But they're still here, and they're here for the same reason that we're here, because they do believe that. They believe, they may not be sure of what they believe, but they're sure that it's an important day. So, they come because they recognize that today is holy and it's special. They come because they don't want Jesus to forget them. They come because they do believe, like we do, that he's alive. I was talking to one of my bosses. He's a good guy. They're Methodist, and I don't know what it is. Y'all may know, but they did the Stations of the Cross at Fraser, and so he had a really special, you know, experience and everything. And he's gotten his son. They went to the children's state with their kids. They went and kind of observed the children doing it. And he told me that his son had been wanting to read more into the Bible. He has twins, and they're like 11, I think. And so he told him, he said, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He says, those are really good. So he's been reading in them. Well, when the preacher was asking him questions in the Stations of the Cross, his little boy knew all the answers because he'd been studying. But Todd made a comment to me that he was referencing the Bible, and he didn't mean to, but he referenced it like his son was reading a history document. And while it is history for us, it's living and breathing. And I told him, I said, one thing that you said that I observed that I just want to bring out to you is that don't let him think this is another history book. Make sure that he understands that every time he reads it, he's going to gain something else. It's not just one way, and once you read it, you're done. It's something every time you touch it, you're going to read it. And I could see the light come on, that he realized that maybe he had been kind of, you know, portraying it a little incorrectly. But we have to think about those that are new to believing, and we have to think about those that come. This lesson touched my heart for people that only come because they know that today is important, and they may not always understand and know what they're missing about that. So what about the rest of the year? How confident are these people that only come once a year or twice or three times? How confident are they when a crisis challenges them and the faith that they do have. How are they different? Now, there's where the differences come. Because when we have a crisis, it's always, we know. We know that, you know, it may be tough, and just because we believe doesn't mean that we're going to have roses and, you know, ice cream all the time. It's going to be tough. He doesn't promise us freedom from tragedy, freedom from suffering, freedom from difficulties. But when we have those, we know where to go. And we know who's
where to go. And we also, we come to church every Sunday. We know we've got our Christian friends to be praying for us too.
That's right.
Or people that don't come to church every Sunday don't have the close fellowship that we have.
And that is so important, to have that fellowship. Yes, ma'am.
And see, they probably can't handle it too good either, their crisis and stuff.
Well, they don't know, because they don't realize they can give it to Jesus and it's gone. Like when Lee prayed about, you know, our troubles in the, just blow them to the wind and let them be gone. And that makes a lot of sense. So, some crisis is going to challenge them through the year, and we need to pray for those people to know the faith and the strength that we have, because we believe and we know that He's going to help us. So what about the rest of the year for us? We have the confidence that stays with us each and every moment of our lives, and because we come each and every week to be reassured that Jesus is standing beside us. And that's what this does. It just I don't care how tough a week you have or what your difficulties may be. You come here, and you're ready for the next week. So we just need to. I just want to just take a minute and just pray for those that are considering coming to that service this morning, and it may be their only visit to a church, any church, during the week. So let's bow our head. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day and what it means to us. The sunrise it's just amazing how Easter is always so beautiful, Lord, and I just thank you for that. And I just pray for those that are thinking about coming, that are feeling a tug at their heart, Lord, that they need to be here to recognize and show respect for the fact that they do believe that you are their Savior. And that they want to show you that they do love you, and they don't want you to forget them. I think that's the biggest. They don't want you to forget them, Lord. And I know you won't, Lord. And I just pray that whoever comes today, that whatever Brother Derek's message that he has planned, that the Lord is, that you've given him, I just pray that it will touch someone's heart, and they will make a profession of faith, Lord, and just show the world that they do believe in you and that they're going to be committed. And then they're going to learn and they're going to grow and they're going to be able to have that faith with them through all the crises that they're going to face. Because it's not if we're going to have them, it's when. And I just ask that you forgive us of our sins, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's look at our first verses. Consider the possibility. We're going to go back through, and we're going to read verse 15 and verse 18 through 24. It says, as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. So these two guys, well, they may not have been a guy. My material told me that one of them is Cleopas. We know it was a man, but the other person could have been his wife. She could have been a follower too, a disciple. And they were coming back. They were walking back from Jerusalem from the Passover. And so they're walking along and they're discussing. And then in verse 18, he tells him, you got to remember too, the Bible's words, sometimes they're so formal and it almost seems, you forget that they're just regular old people like us. And they're walking along. They got a 7 mile. I thought, man, 7 miles, it's tough for me to try to do a mile anymore, much less have to walk home uphill, because it said it was uphill. And so So they're walking along and they're discussing, and then Jesus kind of walks like he's traveling too, but they don't know who he is, and he walks up behind him. And I mean, and Cleopas looks at him and says, I could just, in our language of today, I mean, where have you been? You know, where have you been the last 3 days? If you're coming from Jerusalem, did you have your head in a hole? Do you know what? I mean, I can just imagine, you know, how it was really portrayed. So, he's walking along with them, and they were headed back 7 miles that they had to walk. They were there for the crucifixion, and they had left Sunday before they got the full confirmation that Jesus had been resurrected. Now, they knew what they had been told was going to happen, but they didn't know. And they were talking, and they were arguing, kind of, you know, they were having a spirited discussion about the details of everything that they had been through. How many of you have seen that movie, The Passion of the Christ? So, I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to tell you something. When we got out of the theater all those years ago, I got in the vehicle, and we were about to leave, and I had to stop and open the door, and I threw up. That's how emotional that movie was for me, and it was pretty, you know, it was pretty intense. And so, this is what they were talking about. What we saw in that movie is what they witnessed firsthand. And that's what they were talking about. They were having a spirited discussion about their rendition of what they had seen. And so they had both experienced it. They had both seen it. But they still had questions. And can you imagine? You need to put yourself in their place all those years ago to witness. I mean, it was tough enough to witness that and realize that whole was for, you know, if there had been one person on the face of this earth, that he would have done it for us, for you, for me. So they are coming off of a weekend of some terrible things that they saw and heard. So I would have had hundreds of questions, but the biggest one would have been why. Did he have to, you know, why did it all have to happen? Why did they have to treat him that way? Because, you know, they loved him. They didn't want that to have to happen. Jesus joined them on the road, kind of walked up on them, and God had hidden his identity from them. And this is something that a little tidbit that you need to think about. The resurrected Jesus was different, but he still lived in human form. So when we're resurrected, we're still, because, you know, the Bible tells us we're going to recognize our loved ones. You know, we're not going to be exactly the same because we won't have all these problems and won't be broke down, you know, and illnesses and stuff. So I think that, to me, that's going to be the difference, is we're all going to be whole and healed. So Jesus heard them talking, and so he asked them questions to deepen the discussion, to get it down to where it need to be. And Cleopas' response was no different than one of us. You know, like I said, are you kidding me? Where have you been? So Jesus kept asking them questions because he was preparing them to believe without a doubt what he was about to tell them. Because if he just walked up and said, hey, it's me, they would have probably all fell out in the road and died of a heart attack, because they wouldn't have been able to handle it. And so they told him in verse 9, of 19, the thing that happened to Jesus. He says, what things? He's telling them. He says, the thing that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. And now he's gone. Their prophet, their miracle maker, all their hope was gone. Because they had not been reassured that he had been risen, The people back then, you know, they believed Jesus, they believed in him, they saw his miracles. They wanted him to be the one that was going to set them free from what they were in physically at the moment. The Roman authority, the trials and tribulations that they went through. They thought Jesus was going to come in there, and then he comes in on a donkey. you know, lowly, the lowest animal, and so they still misunderstood the kind of freedom that Jesus offered, and that's freedom from sin. They still didn't quite get it. Cleopas also states in verse 21 that it had been 3 days. They had been told that after 3 days he was going to come back, and they were losing hope fast because it was the third day, and they were already on the way home. Nothing had happened before they left that they knew about, and so they were upset. So they told Jesus about the woman at the tomb and her account of what they found or they didn't find. They found the tomb empty. So the disciples went to see, and he was gone, but nobody had seen him. So they didn't really know if somebody took him or if he really was risen. You know, it was still questionable before Cleopas and his companion, who I think probably was his wife, had left. So they struggled. The disciples even struggled with what to believe because they weren't sure. People struggle today believing that Jesus died and rose again for our sins. Right now, this very moment, there's probably people scoffing because of what Easter stands for and represents for us. So if we know someone who might be struggling with what they believe, ask them if they want to believe. Ask them, do you want to believe this? And if they tell you yes, tell them that if they want to believe but they're not sure, they're leaving themselves open for God to come and work on their heart. Because he's the one that's going to go in there to your heart and allow the faith to take over and help you understand and reveal the truth that he is the risen Savior and he's here just for you. If nobody else, just imagine you are the only person on this universe, this planet. He would do it for you.
That,
I'm sorry. I'm preaching. So it's all about our faith. Faith is unseen. You know, we believe in things that we don't understand. There's all kinds of songs about it, but it's true. We have to believe because we have the faith. The faith is what gets us through. So let's look at verses 25 and through 27. It says, Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So because these two traveling disciples were followers of Jesus, they had received evidence previously that should have made the light bulb in their head come on. They had all these, the Old Testament is full of prediction. Daniel 12:2 comes to mind that I looked at when I was studying about Jesus coming back. The light bulb should have come on in their mind and reminded them that they had been told by the scriptures what was going to happen. But, you know, being told that something is going to happen, and then seeing what they had seen over the course of a couple of days, and then not really having the reassurance of that he did come back and they had to go home, left it questionable for them. But they should have, all that should have been evidence to them that the scriptures had been fulfilled. But you know, there again, they're human. They're normal people just like us, trying to make it through whatever life they're living. And they have witnessed some horrendous, horrendous things. They were limiting their focus by only thinking about the disappointing elements of the weekend. And that's what we do sometimes. We focus on the bad instead of the positive, the negative instead of the positive. They focused on the fact that Jesus was their hope, and now he's gone. It's been 3 days, And they didn't have any evidence that he was coming back like they said. And it was like, oh, well, now what do we do? Who's coming next? Who's going to help us? Who's going to save us? They knew that Jesus, in their mind, they knew he had triumphed, but their hearts were not convinced. You know, how many times have you had something in your life where you knew in your mind that it was right, but your heart hadn't caught up with your mind? And that's where they were. They were so traumatized by the things that they had seen and what was going on and the fact that it was the third day and it still hadn't happened and they didn't know about it. They couldn't think of anything else. And I can imagine, you have to put yourself in their place. Jesus was patient with them as he's telling them all this about the truths from the Old Testament. He was reminding them what they knew. He was preparing them to find out that he was Jesus and that he was back. He drew them back to the Bible's message about the Messiah. So let's look at 30 and 32. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and at that moment he disappeared. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" So these two, they were so into what Jesus was telling them that their invitation back then, if you were traveling on the road and like you got to your destination, which they did, and Jesus acted like he was going to keep going, but back then hospitality was you say, you know, come on in and, you know, break some bread with us and eat and stay and rest, and then you can travel on. Today, we might not do that, would we? You know, might not be so quick to do that. But back then they did. But it went beyond the normal hospitality of the time. They were hungry. They wanted more. Just like we do when we study. The more you study, the more hungry you are for it. So that's what I told my boss too, because he said, "I struggle." He said, "I started at Genesis and I went," and he said, "I couldn't get through Genesis." And I said, "That's because, you know, it's not some task that you're trying to complete." I said, "You can't look at it like that." I said, "Just ask the Lord to open your heart, give you wisdom, and then open the Bible. And wherever it falls, that's where you need to start. Unless you have some specific study or something," I do that. I mean, I say, "Give me something, Lord," and you open it, and it's amazing how he will give you something. He will give it to you. So that's what they wanted. They were hungry for more. Jesus was preparing them to find out who he was. So typically, if you're the host back then, and in the way it is now, the host carves the turkey at Thanksgiving, you know, whatever. So the host would be the one back then to break the bread and bless it. Well, Jesus kind of turned it around, and he became the host. And he took the bread, and they had seen, they were familiar with this, him breaking the bread and blessing it, because they had been around him before, and that's when their eyes were opened. God limited them knowing who Jesus was, and now, because he had prepared them and worked up to it, they were ready, and he told them. So he revealed to them who he was. They were eyewitnesses that the resurrection was real. They had got their confidence. That's when they got their confidence, the confidence that they knew that he was alive. This is another example to me that God only gives us at any moment, spiritually, what we can handle or what he knows we can handle. He's never going to, I always think about this book I have, Just Enough Light for the Step I'm On. It's by Stormy O. Martin. She writes a lot of prayer journals and things like that. And that's what he means. He only gives you, wherever you are now in your life, that's the step you're on. And you can't see the other steps because you're not ready for them and he's not ready for you to go. So as you study in the Word and you open your heart and ask him for the wisdom that you need, he's going to give you enough, and then you'll be able to see the light for the next step and where your journey. That's how you follow and know what God's will is for your life. I know I struggle with that, and I still do, because I don't always know. I feel like he wants me to teach, and that there's other things that I feel sometimes he's calling me to, but you But you have to remember that, you know, people say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, have you asked him? You know, have you said, here I am, my heart's open, I'm ready, give me the light. And he'll give you the light for the next step. So that's what that's about, and that's what he did for them. He prepared them, and then he gave them the reveal. And so there they are. They're confident, they're sure, they're bold. They know now because they saw that horrendous weekend, and then now he's arose again. Can you imagine how this would have gone if Jesus had just said, look, it's me? That was not what God had in mind, because it wasn't about Jesus. Again, it was not about Jesus. It was about them and preparing them to be sure and confident of what had happened and what had happened on the third day. But then he was gone. Can you imagine? Just right before their eyes, he disappeared. Only God. That's a God thing. Only God could make that happen. So after he was gone, and then they started talking about, they forgot about the horrendous weekend and their doubt, and all they talked about was how he made them feel the hunger and the fire they had after he talked to them, and they wanted more. That's why they invited him to come home. They had let his words sink in and take hold of their heart, and that's what's important. That's what we have to do. We have to let it sink in and take hold of it. And let take hold of all of it, because it is so, and I am first in line, and y'all are all behind me for trying to run things. I try to run things in my life and John's life, you know. I mean, that's just the way we are at work, you know, but you gotta let it go. You gotta let him be in control. And when you do, it sure does make life a lot easier. It does. It sure does. So we've got to do the same. We always read your Bible. Before you read your Bible, this, you know, just close your eyes. And, you know, Brother Derek, have you ever noticed, like, when he's preaching, all of a sudden he feels like he needs to pray. And he'll stop and he'll pray. And he always says, set me aside and let them see you. And that, you know, and so tell him, say, set me aside, God, and let me see what it is you want me to see today. And you know, once you start, oh my gosh, the hunger. It is just, it's wonderful. Isn't the hunger wonderful to have that, to want it, to know more? He's not going to give it to us all at one time, because we wouldn't know what to do with it. We'd fall out probably too. We couldn't handle it, but he does give us what he wants us to have at each moment of our lives, each and every moment. Be open to his truths and don't try and figure it out ourselves. That's my biggest thing. All right, our last verses are 33 through 35. And within the hour they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, the Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter. Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. So, within the hour, they probably ran those 7 miles back to Jerusalem. Within the hour, they're confident. They are so confident and they are so sure of themselves. They're going back to find those disciples and say, hey, guess what? We saw him. And I would have wanted to say, I saw him first. So, within the hour they were gone, would you be that excited? You know the truth and you have to tell it. So what is our problem? What is our problem? How about now? Are you as excited as Cleopas and whoever, if it was his wife, whoever it was, are you that excited to run back and tell the truth about what you know about Jesus? Do you share it? Do you want to share it? Do you have that fever, that desire? Think about the experience of these two disciples. Jesus equipped them with the knowledge they needed to go out and tell. And that's exactly what they did. The confidence and the boldness to tell. And they did. And he does the same for us, but we got to be open to it. We close off. You know, they say, I was in a meeting the other day at work, and they were talking about his leadership meeting, and it said, and he goes, I can tell who all's interested in the room. Because if you sit back in your chair and you got your arms folded, what does that mean? You are not interested in anything, and you're protecting yourself from anything that they have to offer. But if you're sitting up confident and leaning on the table, you know, sitting forward, you're listening and you're willing and you're open to listen to what they have to say. Okay, so you got your arms folded so Jesus' word can't get in. Are you open to let him come in and maybe change a few things? Maybe change a few things in your life, the way you do things, the way you think. That's the biggest to me, the way you think. Because if you change, if you let him change the way you think, he's going to change the way you do. So, does anybody have any questions, comments, complaints? I talked to Debbie Curtis, and she said that her